Good afternoon, Truth Wins team. Good to be with you. Devil proof prayer.
Yes, we're going to teach on the devil proof prayer.
Or actually, it could also be titled Praying the Will of God in Your Prayer and Doing It Right.
Right.
So we'll start off with prayer and then we'll go to our lesson.
Dear Holy Father, we thank you, Father, for this opportunity. We thank you, Father, that your word is true at all times, and we know that your Holy Spirit is interacting with us so that we're able to be right on every time, every moment in our lives. We thank you, Father, for your word says that we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord, because we are doers of your word. We're blessed by our deeds, for we are doers of your word. We ask this now in the name of Jesus, name of all names. Amen.
Amen. So we're going to start off with number one, and let's see what number one says we should be doing.
John 16:23-24. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full.
Right. So key number one is we ask the Father.
In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord.
And then we know that he will give us what we've asked for and our joy will be full.
And God is always in the positive. He never is in the negative.
Right. So let's see what else. We're going to kind of continue on and see what else there is that God tells us.
In Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now that's profound.
That's profound, yes.
Yes, Jesus said, if you know the word of God and it abides in you and you abide in him, you will ask according to his will, which is his word, and it will manifest.
Right, it will be yours. And I think that's the key when you ask someone when they prayed and you say, do you believe you're healed? Do you believe you've got your finances? Do you believe whatever you're praying
whatever
for?
Whatever your petition was.
And people say, I hope so. And then you go, well, no, it's not working, because Jesus didn't say ask and hope. He said ask and believe. So
that, ask and believe.
So we're doing a review. First, we're going to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Then we're going to ask and believe so we can
receive. The Word of God.
So let's see what's our next step.
Our next step is Mark 11:25-26. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So that's profound.
Right. I think that's maybe one of the areas people have a lot of trouble with, that the forgiving is for yourself more than even for the person you're forgiving. It becomes hard because when someone wrongs us, it's hard for us to let go of it. But that's what Jesus told us to do, let go of this, and then you can be forgiven.
And he also said in one of the scriptures, I forget which one it was exactly, he says, forgive them for his sake, for Jesus' sake. That's the one time that you could see it for his sake. You forgive because there's a barrier. You've set up the barrier. God hasn't set up the barrier. The barrier's there because you have not forgiven.
Well, I think an interesting point to me always is, if you don't forgive someone, you will find that if you haven't forgiven them, like people go, oh, I've forgiven. But then 5 years from now, they mention, oh, do you... you know what, blah, 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 whoever it was, did that to me. And so they haven't forgiven. And so it's like you just keep reliving the wrongs in your life. Once you forgive it and let it go, you don't have to keep reliving it. It's kind of like you're almost in the Groundhog movie, Groundhog Day, where you wake up in the morning, the alarm goes off, and you haven't learned to forgive yet. And so tomorrow you wake up and it's Groundhog Day and you haven't forgiven.
Yeah, and you keep and you receiving don't want that. The devil has got your tongue, right, you might
say. Right, and I think that was one of the things that Paul taught us. Because obviously Paul, what was the opposite side? Paul had done some things before he actually became a Christian that he wasn't too proud of. And Satan tried to harass him by, look what you did. You had those people killed. You la, 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 la. But yeah. It's like, no, once you ask for forgiveness, it's as though it wasn't done. So once you forgive them, it's though it wasn't done. You're free. That's the good thing.
One of the profound things in there is that when you put on the whole armor of God, you know, it goes through the different parts of the armor. One of the armor is the shield of faith, which quenches all the fiery darts. And those fiery darts is the devil coming against you because of your past. But you've been redeemed from that past, but he keeps harassing you about it. And you just say, it's done.
Yeah, you just resist him and he flees from you.
Yeah, he has to flee because there's a command to him. You resist the devil and he will flee from you. It says that.
Well, let's see what else we're supposed to do. What are some of the, there's like six probably key things. There's lots of things that are in prayer, and that's why you will go study your Bible after we're done and learn even more. But these are probably the key ones where people can tend to miss it. They don't actually ask in the Father in Jesus' name. So they're not starting off right, or they don't believe that they'll get what they ask for. They're just hoping, or they're walking in unforgiveness. So let's see what else we need to do.
It says in Romans 8, 26 through 27, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
Right, and I would say that is like a major key that many Christians have not followed, because you know our favorite scripture is Mark 16, 15 through 18, where yes. Jesus says, believers will speak in tongues. And so it's really important if you don't know how, like for example, you are not really moving along in your career and you're going to go look for a new job and you're not really sure. And you want to say to God, God, give me this new job. But then you're going, I don't know, maybe the economy is not doing so well. I should stay in my old job. Or maybe I should go over to this other job. Or where should I be? That's where the key is why speaking in tongues is so essential. You don't know what to do, but the Spirit does.
Well, your interaction, your interrelationship with the Holy Spirit is very key. And one of the things, as we said, is the Holy Spirit. If you prayed all the English words you can according to the Word of God, and you still feel a little like you need to pray more and you don't have a resolutive answer, you speak in tongues. As Paul said, I speak in tongues more than ye all, meaning that he spoke in tongues all the time to bring the Spirit into the present.
Well, and a key also to doing that, like right now I'm on a prayer team and I pray. I've been asked to be on another prayer team for someone in Mozambique, and I won't know all the issues that are occurring in that country and with those people, but if I intercede by speaking in tongues, I know the perfect will of God. See, that's where we want to stay, in the perfect will of God. What is God's will in this circumstance? Because if you go down, you come to the fork in the road and it splits, I love the poem always said, I took the road less traveled. We don't care about that. We want to take the road God appointed us to go on.
Right. It could be the more traveled one.
Right. It could be the most traveled or the least traveled. Yeah, we don't care. It's
God
the road
has
God wants.
The insight to tell you which road to travel. There might be a third road, a middle
right.
road.
Or sometimes you can just wake up and the person comes to your mind and you don't know why. You might dream about them and you haven't thought of them for a long time. Then you can just pray, do intercession for them. Because the Holy Spirit knows what's going on the other side of the world or in New York or New Zealand or Japan or wherever.
Right.
So that's such an important part of prayer, praying the will of God. So let's go on to Amen. The next one.
Jude 20. But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And another scripture here is 1 Corinthians 14:4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So that's
a different perspective than the one we just had, just to let you know. There's intercession where I don't know about something and I'm praying for the answer. It could be for myself I'm interceding, or really I would be supplicating more, because you supplicate for believers and you intercede for non-believers. But the point is, that's asking something of God and you don't know what to ask. Like it says, you don't know what to ask. And so through the Holy Spirit, you're doing your asking.
Right. This is not in church. I mean, a lot of people are confused with 1 Corinthians 12. It talks about the use of speaking in tongues and interpretation and the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, which is a part of the ministry of the church. Now, the speaking in tongues for the ministry of intercession and supplication and that kind of thing, those aren't necessarily in the church. They are your ability to intercede for them personally with the Holy Spirit. So there's a difference there. People get confused about the tongues and the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the church versus tongues working to the benefit of the individual and the family that you are a part of.
Right. So when you pray in tongues, you can do intercession for other people, like in a different country, whatever. But then you can also pray in tongues and it just edifies your spirit. And
right.
So a lot of times I get up in the morning and I just pray for a half an hour in tongues and it edifies my spirit. And then God begins to speak to me and tell me things. And it's just interesting. I note like the really long ago, like Smith Wigglesworth, and there was that other pastor who got up and they had great movements of God, like unbelievable miracles, healings, salvation. And what they did that was the key is they would pray in tongues from 4 to 8 in the morning, 4 hours a day they would do it. And then like Smith Wigglesworth would get on a bus and people would just fall over.
Another was Charles Finney did the same.
Right.
He
That's
had
what
a prayer
group.
Was that who you're talking about? Charles Finney.
I just couldn't
remember.
This
was back in the early 1800s, late 1700s. They would pray for days about the he's going to come there and preach in the city. Have a revival. And I tell you, those men that did the prayer ahead of time drew the Holy Spirit into the situation, and there was great revival.
Right. Even I read a book by Mother Teresa, and she felt prayer was like essential. She had a woman who prayed for her every day, but also when she was just a marvelous woman, and when she would be sitting feeding someone, that was the only time she thought every person she came to was as equally important as the next. And people said to her, well, that person might die and you could maybe save that one. She said, no, this is the one I'm at now. I'm doing this person. But when the prayer bell came, she would stop, tell another nurse to come feed that person, and go off in prayer, because she knew prayer made everything possible. It's the only way we can really... it's the fight of faith that we do with our life. And then we're in the will of God, because we know the Holy Spirit wouldn't be out of the will of God. Then we have answers to our things.
I want to reemphasize that when you speak in tongues, you speak the perfect will of God. There's no, you're giving your position to the Holy Spirit to speak out of your mouth the word of God.
Right. And if you don't know how to speak in tongues, you
it's could very always, simple to start doing it.
Right. You just ask God for it, start praying, and it will come.
Yeah, you open your mouth and you let it flow.
Right.
And it might take a little time for you to acclimate to that, but it shouldn't take more than a few minutes, usually.
Because right. Jesus said the believer will speak in tongues. Right. In Mark, as we said.
Mark 16, 15 through 19. So, one of the items he gave there, Jesus, before he left to go to the heaven and sit at the right hand of the Father, he said, these things I've delegated to the body of Christ. That's what he said.
To the believer.
Said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And then he continues to say, I've delegated this in Mark 16, 15 through 19 to the body of Christ. And I'm not taking it back. You guys have to do it. And God, a lot of times, is waiting for us to do it.
Right. And also at the end of Matthew 28, talks about the power, where Mark kind of gives a better definition of it. But we'll continue on. We want you to know the six things that are most important in prayer.
Yeah, this is the six most important things in prayer. Pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Believe you receive. Forgive when you pray. Depend upon the Holy Spirit in your prayer life. Pray the prayer of intercession. Edify yourself by praying in the Holy Spirit.
Right. So I think those are the key things. But like I was sitting thinking about our lesson, and I think where people get confused, because our very first verse says, ask and you shall receive, that your joy will be full. But we have to connect it. That's why you need to study your word, put all the word together. Because one of the things it says in the word, if Jesus abides in you and you abide in him, ask what you will and it will be given you. Well, that's what we want to do. We can ask for things, and there is a power in the universe. The universe is set up. We know about quantum. We know that there's faith, and you can ask wrong, but we don't want to ask and receive the wrong thing. That's why the Holy Spirit's so crucial.
Right.
And that's why if Jesus abides in you and he abides, you abide in him and he abides in you.
And you both abide in the Father.
Right. You're not going to ask, can I have my neighbor's wife? Can I have his car?
Right. You're
can
not
I
gonna
steal
ask
his
things
house?
Out of line with the Word of God.
Right. Because God has exceedingly abundantly more than you could ask or imagine, the perfect thing for you. And he's under the laws that he set up. He follows them. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When things do not occur the way we want, we know that God came to give life and life more abundantly, and Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. So we know if something's happening wrong and we prayed and it's not working, we need to figure out how to use Jesus' name, his authority, ask the Father, and we have to ask in line with the Word of God. And if we don't know how to do it, then we have kind of like a trump card, say in one bridge. Like in bridge, one suit if you bid, I don't know, you may not know the game, but if the way it's bid, sometimes it ends up like one suit. It usually like a spade is stronger. The suit you bid can go over it. But sometimes there's no trump and sometimes there's trump card. But if you have a trump card, you can have, say, a two of hearts and someone can put an ace of spades and you have the trump card, which is the two of hearts, and you take that specific packet of cards and win it.
Right.
It's kind of the same thing. We have the Holy Spirit.
We have the trump. We
card.
Have the devil. What was the what was the name of this program? It was called a...
There we go. Devil-proof prayer.
The devil-proof prayer. Yeah.
Right,
that our trump card is the devil-proof prayer, because we pray according to the Word of God and he cannot stop it.
Right.
It's devil-proof.
Well, it's kind of fun. I was thinking it is like playing bridge. It's a card game. So the person's thinking they've got the ace of spades, which usually when you play it, if they're, let's say they bid, Well, they bid really hard. So the hearts are the trump. That would be like the Holy Spirit's the trump card. And they're thinking, wow, if I have the ace of spades, everybody will put an ace on and I'll take this because the ace is the highest you can get. But the trump card goes, oh, it's a two of hearts takes the ace of spades. And so
right. That's
kind of how the Holy
you
Spirit...
You got the inside track.
Right. The inside track of the Holy Spirit will help you get that.
And, you have what they can't overcome.
Right. And as you practice...
The devil can't stop you.
As you practice praying in the Holy Spirit and you start listening, you'll find that the Holy Spirit's a very helpful tool. Like you go to leave and you need to remember you were going to mail... Let's say what's coming up is property taxes are coming up and it's the 10th of December and you need to mail that on the 10th of December or you'll get a penalty, but you're going to work and you're in a hurry and you're starting to walk out the door to go in the garage to leave, and the Holy Spirit puts
says,
in your mind, hey, you got to get that.
You got to do that. It happens to us all the time.
Right. You need to mail your income tax. Oh,
it happens today.
Right.
I mean, every day. I mean, I pray in tongues all the time. All the time. I'm doing a Paul. I pray in tongues more than you all.
Well, and then that's just to help ourselves.
And Smith, one of the keys, Smith Wigglesworth said, which was a great man of faith, people would walk near him and they would start crying, you know, because he and Oral Roberts and Kenneth E. Hagin, they all were praying. I've been in a meeting with some of these people. And they're always speaking in tongues under their breath. They're always in the kairos.
Well, they did it in order. Like we are going to follow what Paul said. We do the same thing. If you're in church and there's unbelievers there, you don't want to confuse them. So it'd be two or three with translation of what the Holy
interpretation,
because it's not a translation. It's an interpretation of what the Holy Spirit says. Because it's a sign for the unbeliever. Although sometimes the best times I always thought is when the people speak in tongue and it's actually a foreign language and someone that's sitting in the audience hears a message and goes...
It happened to my daughter.
Yeah, it happened before.
When she was going to a Christian university, they had a chapel. And in the chapel, the lady got up and spoke in tongues. And everybody goes, yeah, okay, that's cool. And nobody interpreted it. But the lady jumped up and said, hey, it was Russian, wasn't it?
Or something.
Something
it
like
could be
that.
Any language. It could be Japanese.
And it was a language nobody knew. Nobody
right, but
understood.
The lady got a message from God, kind of like in Pentecost.
Yeah, she got up and she translated it, basically.
Right, it was like in Pentecost, where they were all speaking in tongues, and all the foreigners who were there got a message in their own language. So it's pretty cool. So
we have been there. I've never spoken tongues in the church. I mean, I've spoken tongues in my own language for my own edification in church, but never as a part of the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Or translated.
And I'm not saying that I won't ever, but I'm not saying that I have this special...
Because we all have a gift.
We have a gift.
But we all... Well, it's not key to your salvation. If you don't speak in tongues, yes, you're born again, you will go to heaven. But it's one of the gifts you can have.
Well, it's really,
that enhances
like
your
I've
life.
Said before, it's your supercharge. It's your supercharge of the spirit realm. It gives you more, your life is much more, I would say, involved with God. Let's say it that way. It gives you that edge. It's like my dad was in the Air Force. I've said this before. When the fighters take off and they had to get there quick, they turn on the afterburners. Well, the Holy Spirit is the afterburner. But salvation is, you know, you can just pray the prayer in English and you can get there the same way. But if you need to get there quick and you don't know what else to say, speak in tongues. And it will manifest. The Holy Spirit speaks the perfect will of God before the Father, and it will manifest as your needs are met by the Holy Spirit, by the Father. Because the Father says yes and amen. It says that in the Holy Spirit, in the Word of God.
So I'd like to say, be sure to like and subscribe.
Yeah.
Share this with your friends and family so people learn the six most important things to pray. And
Truth
I'd like
wins.
To say next week, I believe what I'm going to be teaching on will be kind of a novel thought for everybody, and be sure to listen. It'll be Thanksgiving week, and we can be thankful that I got this while I was praying, and I have to do some research on it, but I think
for next week
will be very interesting to the body of Christ.
You want to say what it's about?
No.
Oh, you don't want to say what it's
about?
I know what it's about a little bit.
They have to listen, because if they miss it, wish they didn't.
It's something very...
I don't think anybody's ever taught about this.
You've heard about it.
Maybe they've heard about it.
It's on the make.
Anyway, so have a good weekend.
Yes. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Yes, enjoy.
And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Right, and enjoy the rain if you're getting rain. It's a blessing from God.
Yeah, we're getting rain.
It's cleaning the air. It's beautiful.
My neighbor's getting their roof being re-roofed.
Just in time, because it's supposed to rain.
Rain hard tomorrow at night, about 10 o'clock. So he's got another day to at least get it waterproof.
Anyway, so have a good week, and we'll see you next week.